So, yeah. So I want to talk about a topic that I think is very, very, very fundamental, not just for Jews, but for anyone who wants to have a happy relationship with God. And that's the topic of Hidbodedut, of the joy of speaking to God, the joy that can come from that. And the truth is, this topic was not made up by Chassidut, but there's a particular Rebbe who loves to talk about this particular topic.
Rebbe Nachman,
Rebbe Nachman. Gewalt, awesome. So that's symbolized by the second picture, because we have no idea what Rebbe Nachman looks like, but that's probably what he would have looked like. A Breslover, talking to Hashem, screaming to Hashem. So indeed, Rebbe Nachman Mibreslov, one of the topics he talks the most about, and maybe the thing that's most famous, most original, is his insistence on Hidbodedut. He writes that this is actually the primary way of tefillah, of connecting to Hashem through prayer today, and the primary way to become a tzaddik, to become righteous in our generation. This is the essence of prayer. And of course, we need set prayer, we need the three times Shacharis, Mincha, Marav, we need Tehillim. But it's extremely beneficial to make a regular practice, offering your own prayers and requests from the depth of your heart in the language you understand best. Or as we call it in Hebrew, Hidbodedut, to be alone with God. Okay, this is the primary way he writes in Sichas Haran 229. And as I mentioned, this is not the invention of Rebbe Nachman. You see on the left, anybody guess who's that guy? Who's this picture?
Chofetz Chaim,
not bad, Daniel, right? That's actually apparently a real picture of the Chofetz Chaim, what he looked like. And the Chofetz Chaim was not a chassid. A pen? You want a pen? No, the left one. Yeah, he's in the middle. The short guy. The short, cute, yeah. That's the Chofetz Chaim. Okay? The Chofetz Chaim, we got a song for everybody. The Chofetz Chaim was not a chassid, okay? In fact, he was a misnagid. He was opposite. He was all about learning Torah all the time. And yet the Chofetz Chaim famously, every single day, made time to go out into the fields and talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so clearly this is not something that's unique to Chassidus. You'll find this throughout all different places in Jewish philosophy, the importance of making time and speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because just Rabbi Nachman in Chassidus says it's the greatest virtue of all. You know, he puts it on a pedestal higher than other Chassidut, and that's why he's so famous for talking about it. He has a whole book called Hishtapchus HaNefesh. I highly recommend it, which is all about pouring out your soul to God. And nowadays they have an English book, I think it's called In the Forest Fields, which is all about this topic of the importance of Hidbodedut. We're going to try to take that whole book and sum it up in 20 minutes.
Yay.
But read the book. I'm not going to do it justice. We're just giving you tasters in this shiur. Now, of course, Hidbodedut goes way, 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 way back. So where else do we find in Jewish people, Jewish philosophy, who else made it a practice to speak to God in their own personal language? Who were the first ones?
Abram,
Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's right. Probably Adam and Eve too, though. We don't know for sure, but we see them speaking to God. And that guy looks like Abram, doesn't he? Wouldn't that look like it would be Abram?
Yeah.
If you were Abram?
Moses.
Looks like an Abram.
Or Moses.
Or it could be a Moses too. But I think he's more of an Abram than anything else. So that's right. He's Abram. And yes, if you look in the Torah, you see Abram, you see Yitzchak, you see Yaakov, all talking to God. Okay, so that obviously this wasn't made up by Rabbi Noah. Noah too. Everybody is talking to God. Okay? In fact,
telling him what he's doing wrong, right?
Sometimes it's screaming at God, Eov, right? But sometimes it's begging God. Sometimes it's thanking God, like we saw with Yaakov Avinu. But it's definitely speaking to God in a Chazal say that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov established set tefillot. But that's not to the exclusion of personal prayer. They also certainly made time to talk to God in their own language. went, you know, he said he went to... which some say is this air state. He's the first Preslover. He goes out to the field and he's talking to God. Right?
And the servant brought his wife to him. Actually, he was in the field...
talking to God.
Talking, taking care of the flock. Actually, he's doing the...
That's right. It says, "Vayitzeh lasuach pasadeh." He went to speak to God in the field. So that's right. That he is the first example of speaking to God in the field. But no, by Avraham Avinu, we also see him praying God and asking, "Bame eda, how will I know God that I will have yirashena, that I will have inheritance?" And Yaakov Avinu also speaks to God when he says, "Hatzileni na." Please save me from my. Now we have a little bit of evidence. We believe Chazal teach us they were always talking to God. Just the Torah, you know, shows us a few times that they're speaking to God. But no, we find personal prayer by all the Avos.
Cain and Abel were also out in the field.
Oh, it was kind of different.
That's true, but we don't see them speaking to God.
Well, differentiating between like prayer and direct prophecy, like a conversation with God that's continuing.
I mean, it's true. They do go together sometimes, but not necessarily. You're saying perhaps by Yitzchak we see that he's just talking to God, and we don't see it as God speaking back. So God spoke back, but in more of a physical way than in speech. Okay, but either way, we see them speaking to God. Now the rabbi that makes this most explicit is the Rambam. I didn't bring you the source here, but it's in. Hilchos Tefila, first chapter, fourth Mishnah. The Rambam famously writes that all throughout Jewish history, everybody was doing hidbodedu. Everybody was talking to God. There was no such thing as a set tefila. Until when? Who were the first people to establish having a set Anshei Knesset HaGdola? The men of the Great Assembly, as we're going to talk about in part two of this year, these great prophets, Ezra, Malachi, Zechariah, they were the ones who established davening with a set text. But until then, everybody was talking with personal prayer. Okay? Some more famous personal prayer people. You got the middle picture. Who's that? Anybody guess? Chana. Very good, Aaron. Chana, actually the Gemara and Brachos. We learn out many of the dinim of tefillah. For example, that you're supposed to daven quietly, but verbalize the tefillah from Chana. She was having her own personal conversation in Shiloh.
I was in Shiloh yesterday.
Oh. What? You were in Shiloh yesterday? Shkocha Pratis, Gevalt. So you were mamish connecting to the place where personal speech is coming down to the world, and that's where we learn out davening. It's not a coincidence that the Gemara learns out pure tefillah from Chana. We need to connect the energies of set tefillah to the energies of personal tefillah. Very good. So Chana is another great example of personal tefillah. And who does this guy remind you of? Shlomo. Shlomo? That is, we do see, by the way, Shlomo Melech have a personal tefillah by the Beit HaMikdash. I would have guessed more David. Why? I have no idea. Because in the color picture, he's a gingy. That's right. Because there's a harp there, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now, what's the clearest proof that David and Melech did some hidvoyedus? One more round.
It's written in Samuel or something.
Probably, but also in
the whole
book of Psalms. There's a book of Hidvoidus. We're supposed to like imagine we're living in the world of David HaMelech. We believe that his words are so relevant to us, but ultimately it was his Hidvoidus with Hashem. We read dealing with him screaming at God, him praying to God, him thanking God, him being real with Hashem. Just like Rabbi Nachman says we should do.
You saw her bathing on the roof?
Gewalt. Namish.
That's the question about Chana. I was wondering why in the story, like she's praying and Eli sees her and she's wrong. And he says, why are you praying for nothing not for me already? You should be praying. So it sounds like...
So it seems like at that point... Either it was not well known, this halacha of verbalizing tefillah, or maybe it's more related to the emotion that she was also like praying with all of her heart and was also verbalizing tefillah, and that's why he thought she was drunk. But it's a good question.
They said that she was praying quietly, right? But she wasn't.
Yeah, she wasn't saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Nachon. Exactly. We need to verbalize it, but not say it too loud. You say it in a whisper. Which I once heard a beautiful explanation for. Telemann means it's an intimate language. It's a language of connection. And that's one of the reasons why we whisper our tefillah. Strong. It does. In fact, if Bezrat Hashem, we should all be zoichet to learn together the fifth parak of Brachos, my favorite parak of Gemara. And it's all about all the many halachot we learn from Chana. And it's a very fascinating how the Gemara learns it out and why the Dafka put her up as the place, Himarat Nefesh, from davening. And it's an amazing parak. We should all be zoichet to learn this Gemara together. Please, God. Bezrat Hashem. I actually started learning a Shabbos afternoon Gemara Chabura. And so I hope, in Brochus. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll get there soon. But very good. So we're up to page 2 now.
Yay.
And just moving on, we're going to just point out 5 advantages to doing Hitzboidus, to talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, there's many, many advantages. But we're going to point out a few with the short time that we have here. So, let's go there.
He doesn't interrupt.
He's an amazing listener, right? The best listener. He never cuts me off when I'm davening and when I'm talking. Right? Awesome. So what's the first picture there? What is that?
He's a psychologist.
He's a psychologist. He's a therapist. He's Voidedus is us using Hashem as our therapist, as a way to get it all out. And you know what? It's a lot cheaper. You know? You don't have to pay. He listens the whole time. And it really, really helps. You get your emotions out and gain clarity for whatever is bothering you. There is a little bit of a catch, of course, that this only really works if you actually believe that he's listening. Right? So that's a little bit of a catch for those who don't have that emunah. We'll address that in a second. But for Bezrat, you know, for those of us who are in the camp of believers, it's an amazing tool that we can use to get out our emotions and gain clarity. And that's one of the reasons which Rabbi Nachman recommends that every single day, he recommends for an hour a day, ideally, at least a set time, we talk to Hashem so that we gain clarity. Wow. As to what's going on. And though I myself have never really done a full hour, I've heard from people that if you really do the full hour, it's life-changing. I do try to do, you know, at least a few minutes in my tefillah, and I do find it like the highlight of my day very often, and so important for my day. When I have to rush my tefillah, it's really like I'm not the same person. It's really chaval. So I really do think it helps bring clarity. Good. Okay. So he's a great therapist. You can write that in. What's number 2? What does number 2 have to do? What is that one?
Is it accessible?
Yeah, it's a cell phone to God. It's calling God. Okay? It's our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way I like to put it is, you know, I call my mom and dad and my brother every single week. And truth is, sometimes I call them 2 or 3 times a week. Sometimes less, sometimes more. But I always call them on Erev Shabbos. Sometimes I have a lot to talk to them about. Sometimes I have very little to talk to them about. It's just I'm in a rush, you know, I'm making a big Shabbos meal. But I always make sure that at least once a week I call them. And what's the idea? Why is that?
Because you never know when they're going.
No. Uh-oh. Not just because that's a depressing way of looking at it. No, I think it's more than that.
And an ongoing relationship?
It's about building a relationship. And building a relationship takes consistency.
Yeah.
And commitment. And, you know, we've all had that awkward conversation with trying to, like, reconnect with someone who we were so close with at one point. And we haven't spoken to them for so long, and like it's so awkward, and like we kind of hesitate to call them up on the phone, you know, or to reach out to them because we have that guilt of like, you know, why haven't I spoken to you in forever, you know? I have no excuse anymore with like Facebook and WhatsApp. But, and that's how, unfortunately, how people who don't talk to God every day feel sometimes, or at least once a week. They feel like estranged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by maintaining that one-on-one relationship, by calling him, by talking to him every single day, ideally, we're, you know, maybe not that moment can have anything deep to say, but when we need him, he's there for us, and we don't feel like we're using him and only reaching out to him when we need him.
Yeah, it does feel awkward if you need something from someone, and you haven't spoken to them in a while, so you're calling them just because you need them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like doing that.
Yeah, it's really weird. So that's why you got to put it butts. Daniel's a comedian and musician of the day. That's what we bring him in for. Okay, this one's a little bit more tricky. Let's see. It's I don't know. I don't think you're going to get it, but let's see if you can get why the heck I have Jacob and Esav as the third reason to do.
Why is Jacob black?
Esau's the red.
Indeed. Actually, I think it's switched. I think I accidentally switched the... Somehow it switched it when I printed it.
Oh, because when they were...
Black is the new red.
I think when Rivka went by certain houses of like prayer and... You know, there was like a medrash like...
Yeah.
She went by like the shivas and prayers and... Yaakov would, she would notice like the pull.
Banim, and the brothers were kicking.
And when they would go also by like places of, I guess,
Avodah Zarah.
Esav would be kicking.
Exactly. So that's the Medrash which Rashi brings, which actually I'm going to completely contradict. That's not explicit in the text. It does say that they were kicking, but we don't know why. So, you know, Rashi says because one of them was predestined to be bad and loved Avodah Zarah, and the other one was Yaakov and loved Taira. But the Mei Shiloach, the Ishbitzer, says something amazing. And Rav Shlomo brings this down. He says, actually, no. Yaakov and Esav both had potential to become tzaddikim. They both had the exact same genes. They had the same mom and dad. And Esav totally could have gotten the bracha, and it could have been a Yisachar-Zvulun relationship where they both would have been great in their own special way. So what is the difference? Why did Yaakov become Yaakov and Esav become Esav?
Because he liked killing
people? Not exactly. So he says a deeper answer. Because Yaakov worked on himself. And how did he work on himself?
He sat in the tent.
He did eat bodedus. Oh. That's what he says. He worked on himself. He thought every day, and he had those netiyah to get angry. He had the netiyah to be taivadik. He had the natural inclination, just like Esav, to be arrogant. He worked on himself and he became Yaakov Avinu, and Esav just went down the natural path of someone who doesn't work on himself, doesn't do cheshbon and nefesh, and he became a sinner. And how do we know this in the pshat? Honestly, I don't know. It's a good question. We could have a good discussion on Parshas Toldos about the veracity of this, but I know it's true on an experiential level. We all know that when we work on ourselves, we can become great. And when we don't work on ourselves, we can go down the bad path.
It seems that Jacob has a lot of the spiritual power. Even he made a blessing to the Pharaoh.
True. I'm not dissing on Yaakov. I'm saying that Esav also. But Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav to become one of the fathers of the Jewish people. Clearly, he also had a lot of spiritual potential, and he saw something great in him. Perhaps that could be a textual support for this idea that Esav also had the potential to be great, he just didn't work on himself. So the point I'm trying to make is what Rabbi Nachman talks about all the time, that the key way to become a tzaddik is cheshbon nefesh, and specifically Rabbi Nachman's derech of cheshbon nefesh, of working on yourself, is hitbodedut. Now in this seminar we've discussed other ways
to work.
Who originally made this idea? I believe it's from the Mei Shiloach. Have to relook at it. Rabbi Nachman, I could be wrong, it could be Rabbi Nachman, I don't remember. But Rabbi Nachman is the one who's constantly talking about this cheshbon nefesh. We've mentioned another way to do cheshbon nefesh, that's journaling. And I think that works for me and for others in many ways, many of us, just as well, to talk to Hashem through the pen and paper. But that's another form of itbodedus. But it's the same idea. It's connecting to Hashem. Doing that cheshbon nefesh is a way towards self growth. Okay, so that's the little babies.
It's interesting what you're saying now, because like the courses that I've been doing, they're like just tuning to one's feelings. And you talk about journaling, that's usually, like for me, it comes out as thoughts or just events. They like a journal. This is what I did. But for, like, actually, cheshbon nefesh, maybe it's not just what I'm thinking, more what I'm feeling, which seems to be a girl thing. I get that a lot.
No, it's not a girl thing.
I get a lot from the girls. I feel that this.
Yeah.
This is what I hear.
Yeah,
saying.
They may be more in touch with it.
I feel this. I feel it's not right. I feel not now. I feel like.
Right.
But what do you really like? I say I'm thinking that. I say yeah, but what do you feel?
Right.
It's like a different.
Wow, we have a special guest. Baruch Hashem. Nachon, I don't want to get super into it, but you're right. It's a great way of doing cheshbon nefesh and being real with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to talk, let him know not just what happened on a very kind of external level, but what I'm feeling. Sometimes it can be intimidating for people, and they don't want to go there so much every day, and that's going to scare them away. And sometimes it's just easier to talk about what happened. But either way, if you can get, the more deeper you can go, that's wonderful. Okay, I want to keep moving. Yeah. Let's move to the third page. And what does Jacob's ladder have to do with anything? The malachim are going up and down. What does that have to do with the voidedus? So it's a little bit of you have to use a little creativity. I'll read a quote from Likutei Maran. Rabbi Nachman teaches, one can recite existing prayers and supplications, but these are already known to the destroyers and maligning forces that lie in wait along the path of these prayers. In other words, when I'm davening a regular set davening, the angels know that prayer is coming, and they're ready to attack those tefillin and say, Yoni's davening for Baruch Aleinu, but like he used his mouth for Lashon Hara, and they knock it down. And, you know, this is the way that Rabbi Nachman kind of describes it. And like, it may not get to the heavens because God, they know it's coming. They know these paths only too well. But when you talk to God on your own, it forms a new pathway. Accordingly, the maligning forces are not laying there in wait. So it's not a diss on personal prayer. Rabbi Nachman all the time talks about the importance of set tefillah and the koach of set tefillah. But an additional, and it's a little bit controversial for Rabbi Nachman to say this, but an additional advantage of personal prayer is that it makes a straight path, a stairway, straight to the heavens that nothing can touch. You know, and you feel this sometimes, that like, sometimes in order to really feel the davening, it's like the prayer after the prayer. It's when you just go to the Aron Kodesh and you just start begging to Hashem from the depth of your heart. That's when you really, really feel connected, you know, in the deepest way. And if it's something that I feel like a lot of times I'll go through the set tefillah just so that at the end of it I'm ready to actually, you know, do the personal prayer. But the personal prayer is what's like breaking through the heavenly realms and really connecting me to Hashem. Okay, so that's the fourth advantage of Hidbodedut. It's the straight path to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody with me? We're good? Okay. And a final fascinating advantage of Hidbodedut, also a little tricky, see number five? What does that mean? Pray first, you gotta believe. What am I trying to get out there? What's the advantage of prayer and praying and believing?
doesn't work unless we think it will?
Ah, so Yitzhak is going to suggest the natural psychological thing to say, which is that if you don't believe in it, it's hard to pray. That's true. Prayer is very challenging if you don't believe in God. I've struggled with my students who don't believe in God with that issue. But Rabbi Nachman says something fascinating. And Chassidus in general says it. You want to come to believe in God? Don't necessarily read a book, you know, philosophizing about why God is true. Rather, start talking to God. Talk to God every single day. Make it a set practice, and it's proven, Rabbi Nachman says, you're going to believe in God by the end of it. First pray, and then you got to believe, and then you'll come to believe. Okay? Somehow forming that relationship with God is what breaks down the barriers to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, what I think Rabbi Nachman is saying is, to connect to God is not necessarily only something intellectual. It is an experience. It is emotional. And the way to have that experience of connecting to God is to kind of take a leap of faith and start talking to God. And those who do that, experience says, actually come to feel God. So, and I've actually, you know, had students who have had that experience, who haven't believed in God. And they made it a set practice. They pushed through, and they've started feeling that connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's an amazing advantage, but I think you need consistency. It needs to be set. You need to keep doing it. It's like playing guitar. You try once, you give up, it's done. You got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and it'll eventually come.
But else you need like real shit in your life so that you're forced to do it.
If life is really, really hard, then you may have no choice.
Like court cases are a very trying thing. Can
if that's what'll float that gets you there, okay, maybe that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu, needs to push us to have a relationship with Him. Hopefully, we can have a relationship with Him before the trials and tribulations come. But sometimes, the Gemara does say that the reason God, gave the barren women these tribulations is because He wants them to pray. He wants to have that connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu.
I think when you speak out, it makes a difference. The happy simcha
affirmation.
If you just think, I will be happy today. I will be happy today. It's less good than you speak it out loud. I will be happy today. I will be happy today.
Okay.
And it's the same when you repeatedly saying Padula do not dog. Then
you start feeling it.
Yeah, you feel it.
Yeah. I've been in situations I'm like not in the mood to sing Hallel. I'm like, no, I'm not ready for that. But like if I'm in a meeting where they're singing it, I'm going to eventually start feeling it. And if I'm just on my own and, not really verbalizing, not really singing it, I'm not. So, our mind follows our surroundings and our actions as opposed to the other way around. That's
isn't it both ways?
It goes both ways, all right? If you're in the mood to exercise, you're going to run. But sometimes if you push yourself to exercise, even if you're not in the mood, and especially if you have an exercise buddy who you have to meet, that'll get you to in the good mood that you didn't really want to get to. But we're going back to things we've spoken about in the past, but very good reviews. Okay, a few tips. I want to throw down four or five tips to conclude our Hitboidudus segment. Tip number one, this one's kind of obvious. What's Rabbi Nachman's tip as to how to make your Yidboidudus effective?
Go to nature.
Go to the fields. Look at us right here, right? Go out to the forest. And as the famous Rabbi Nachman teaching is, when you pray in the field, every blade of grass prays with you. Okay, it's an amazing spiritual teaching. Personally, one of the reasons why I love davening here, I've really enjoyed the Kabbalat Shabbat Minyan, and hopefully we're going to continue this Friday night, because you're out in the field, out in nature. It's so special, the original Kabbalat Shabbat without outside. But davening out in nature, anyone who's experienced it is so much easier to open up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're in His natural, beautiful world than if you're in a little hut, a man-made hut. It just doesn't make that connection. So very strongly say, let's go out to the fields if you want to talk to God, make a set spot if you can. Rabbi Nachman does say there are other ways too, okay? Number two relates very much to what Aaron and others were talking about. What's this picture? Letters flying to the heavens, what's that about?
Brachas, creation of the universe.
It's the letters flying to the heavens. But the letters only fly to the heavens when we verbalize it. As you guys were saying, you need to actually talk out. Sometimes people say, did you do devotees? And yeah, I thought it. It's nice, it's better than nothing, but that's not what Rabbi Nachman's talking about. Devotees means verbalizing. Dibur needs to be verbalized, and that then it's a davar, then it's something chashuv, and then you start believing it. If you don't verbalize it, it doesn't go to the heavens. You need to actually say it. Okay, number three, tip number three, another great spot to pray to God.
Meditation,
and where is that kid under?
A blanket.
A blanket. It could be a cloud, but it's a blanket in your bed. It's a great place if you don't fall asleep. If you don't have time to go to the forest, so in your bed before you go to sleep, Rabbi Nachman says, talk to Hashem before you go to bed. It's a great idea. Okay? You could have a meditation room. It's another idea. A tefillah room. But under your covers, that's something that can work for everybody. Okay, another piece of advice that I try to do. Another great place to do Hidbo to Deuce?
Running.
When you run, I call it a Hidbo to Deuce run. Sometimes I'm an Amuna run. I listen to these cheesy Amuna tapes. And sometimes I do an Amuna run and a Hidbo to Deuce run. I just talk to Hashem while I'm running. Nobody knows what's going on. You're just talking to God. It's amazing. It's a great place. Nothing else is going on. It's really awesome.
That's really nice to do it walking.
Walking's good too. It's just as good. Walking, running, exercising. Great time. Okay, what's the final one? What's GPS? This is a review one. I want to remind you guys. What's my GPS shtick?
Gratitude.
Prayer. Prayer and sorry. Not necessarily in that order. You can do it in any order. But that's, if you're not sure what to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu about. First of all, you're talking about that. You can say, Master of the World, I don't know what to talk about. Right? But another way to do it is to just start thanking him for everything. And then eventually you can ask him for stuff. And then maybe you'll feel man enough to say, I'm sorry. Feel womanly enough. Feel responsible enough to say, how can I become better? And again, I personally like to do that at the end of my Shemoneh Esrei. It's like a set place to talk to Hashem. But you can do that anywhere. GPS, navigating your soul to get to the right places in life. One more tip I forgot to mention. Rabbi Nachman talks about pray for everything. I think I quoted it. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's in this great book, which I'm calling a lot of these ideas from. It's from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman tells us that you need to not be shy with God. Pray for your buttons to not get unbuttoned. Pray that your shoe looks nice. Pray that your sock is not ripped. Pray to breathe. Pray that you don't have to wait in line at the doctor's office. Everything. Literally go through your entire day. And Rabbi Nachman says, if you didn't pray for it, you don't feel connected to it. On a spiritual level, you only receive the vitality for whatever you're receiving in your life if you pray for it. So when you do your goals list today, tomorrow, don't just make a goals list. Daven for everything. And not only will hopefully everything go smoother, but you'll be more appreciative and recognize that everything that you have is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll receive that spiritual vitality. And all of that is by not being shy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to hear us. The whole point of life is sicha, is connecting to him, is having a relationship with him. How can you have a relationship with someone if you don't talk to him? And hopefully in this chus of us talking to him, he'll talk to us back sometimes. And we'll see Hashem's hand in our lives. But the more we speak to him on a real level, the more it'll be a real relationship, and we will hopefully see Hashem's presence in our life. Okay? Again, I could tell you endless stories, cute stories, I could tell you, but we don't have time. This is a short version of some of the advantages and some of the tips that Rabbi Nachman offers about making Hidbo Dedut meaningful and effective in our lives. Any thoughts, comments, questions before we move on to topic number two?
Gretchen, help me have a safe trip and a meaningful trip and to be productive and beneficial and I should enjoy it.
Amen.
Exactly. What should my companions?
Amen. Amen. Zat Hashem. And Hashem should help the rest of this year be smooth and sweet and as awesome as the first part is. Chaim.